This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove. So let's kind of do something a little different. As we've heard Jesus teach us how to pray in what's called the Lord's Prayer, let's do a little Bible drill kind of deal today. What we're going to do is just kind of go through a bunch of different scriptures, and I want us to do something kind of unique. I want us to watch Jesus pray. I want us to kind of get into this idea of watching Jesus pray. You know, we're followers of Jesus, right? We're not just churchgoers. We're not just religious people. We're followers of Jesus. And in fact, if somebody asks me what denomination we are or anything like that, I always say that I'm a Jesus man. That's what I always say. You know, I don't get tied up in all those controversial things and crazy. I just don't go there. I'm a Jesus man. I'm a Jesus follower. We're believers in Jesus. We're Christians. We're Christians. That's what they called them because they started acting and looking like Jesus. They called them Christians, right? Christians. We're disciples of Jesus. We're students of Jesus. And our main goal is not to just get to heaven. Thank God for that. But our main goal is to become more like Him. That's what this idea is all about. This idea is about us becoming more like Him. So what I want to do is take some time tonight to observe Jesus praying. And we're going to hear Him speak sometimes. Other times we're going to watch Him and kind of get some thoughts and ideas about what He did so that we can do what He did. Because the hopes is if we do what He did, maybe we can do what He did. You know, that's the hopes. All right, and the hopes to grow in our devotion to Him. And Jesus is the way, and He shows us the way to live. So let's just observe Him. Let's start right here in Matthew 10, 24 and 25. This kind of goes along with the idea of what I've just been speaking. Jesus says this, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he or she should be like his teacher, and a servant like his master." So that's the goal. We're going to watch Jesus, and we're going to try to incorporate these things into our life, because we want to be like Him, right? We want to walk, John says it like this, to walk in His steps. Let's do this, all right? Let's do this. Let's start this journey tonight in John 17. I'm going to have the scriptures up here, but you may want to follow along in your Bible as well and take some good notes, whatever helps you grasp a little bit better. John 17, 20 through 22. I wanted to start right there, and then we'll go through some of the other Gospels in just a moment. Now, John 17 is... it's just before Jesus is crucified. John 17 contains what's called Jesus' high priestly prayer. And look at what he says right here. You can go back and read the entire prayer. I just wanted to pull this out because he's praying for us. He says, "I did not pray for these alone," talking about he just got through praying for the disciples that were there in the midst, the 11 that were there, because Judas has already gone out, right? They're there in the Garden of Gethsemane in that general area. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's us. So Jesus is praying for us. Now listen to what he prays. "That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us." Now you think about that. Now if you were to sit there and meditate on that, that's a pretty powerful thing. That Jesus is saying that, I'm just not wanting y'all just to get through life. I'm not wanting y'all just to be good little boys and girls. I really want you to experience a fellowship. Jesus said, the same fellowship that I have with the Father and the oneness, that word one, that kind of union, that kind of communion that I have with the Father. I want all of my followers who will come generations thereafter, speaking all about us, I want y'all to experience the same oneness and to be one with us. Father, Son, and Spirit are one. I want all of my people to be one with us too. That's amazing. That's Jesus' prayer over our lives. All right? Now, so he wants us to be one with Him, "that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." Okay, so now two pictures I get right here. That they be one, us, be one, be unified, be a family, be together, fellowship, body, joined together. Paul would talk about that in Corinthians, won't he? How the body's fit and joined together, how we're one body with one Lord and you know, one baptism, all that, one faith, all of that kind of stuff. All that idea of one. That they be one together. Now, how's that working out? We got a long ways to go on that deal, don't we? Mm-hmm. But that's Jesus' heart. That's his prayer. That they be one and that we all be one with him. You see? And I in my older days, I have a huge hunger to know what Jesus is talking about right there. I want to know what you're talking about. I want to know what it is to be one with you. That'd be a good prayer. Jesus is praying this over us. So we're hearing him pray now. So, helping us out. It'd be great. It'd be great for you to begin to incorporate. Lord, help me. Help me to be one with you. Help me to be one with you. You know, you kind of get a little bit of that idea in marriage. If you've been blessed with a good marriage. Not everybody has, but if you've been blessed with a good marriage is two people becoming what? One flesh. And that's one of the pictures of Christ in the church, because that oneness that happens when these two people all of a sudden become one, they become one in their mission, they become one in their mind. Lord, if you've been together long enough, you start looking like each other. You start thinking like each other. And you start, she'll start finishing your sentences and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And she'll even tell you what you need to think. Anyway, that's another story. Anyway. that's all right. But that's a great picture when you see a healthy marriage. That's a picture of Christ and his church, because that oneness, that's that idea. You know, that's what Jesus wants us to be, one with him and the Father. That's pretty, old boy said, that's tall cotton, isn't it? That's pretty good stuff. All right, so incorporate that into your prayer. All right, let's go right here to Mark chapter 1. We're going to see, we're just going to observe, we're going to watch him. Watch him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And when you read the scriptures, especially the Gospels, don't just try to get your chapter in now. Pay attention to what you're reading. Look, listen. And I like to get my imagination rolling. What I literally kind of try to step into the text, especially if it's something I'm going to preach. I try to step in there, and I get in there. If Jesus is in the house, I come in the front door. I'm looking around. Yeah, they got the picture hanging on the wall over there. Mm-hmm. There's a kitchen over there. I'm serious. That's the way I do it. And I start looking, smelling, listening. Let the text kind of, I just step in. It's just sanctified imagination is what I call it. Just get in there and let the Lord just speak to you and show you some things. And the scripture will come alive like crazy now. Mark 1:35. Listen to this. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. There he prayed. Okay. And we're just watching him now. We're going to get several stories. We're not going to try to talk about every story. We're just going to kind of observe him, see what he's doing. So let's do this. All right, let's make some notes here. So what strikes you in there? What do we see Jesus? What's he doing? What's one of the words right there?
Solitary.
Solitary place. Let's use this word. We'll see it pop up several times. Alone. What's another word in there?
Morning.
Now, Jesus is, I'm going to lose some of y'all on the first verse. The first verse, he said, in the morning before daylight. I done lost some of you already. Yeah. So he's in the morning, okay? So why morning? Why is the morning so important? Start of the day. Start of the day. It helps you get focused. Helps you become aware, alert. Start your day with Jesus. Set your mind right for the tone of the day. You know, that kind of deal.
Mercies all right. Are new every morning.
Yeah, mercies are new every morning. You ought to go get you some. We're going to need them for the rest of the day, ain't we? That's good. So in the morning, I think that's important. Now, it's not the only time you need to pray, but I just think it's important. You don't have to pray 4 hours in the morning. I mean, you hear these stories about guys like John Wesley that got up and prayed 3 or 4 hours. You know, try 3 or 4 minutes first before you get to 3 or 4 hours. It'll change your life. Now, I'm serious. I believe every believer ought to give give God the first day of every week, the first 10% of every dollar, and the first moments of every day. That'd go a long ways to your devotion in Christ and to Him. All right? So in the morning. So what else do you see right there? Anything else? There he prayed. The solitary place. Why a solitary place? Why is he alone? Why is that important? No distractions, no interruptions. I think that's important, right? All right. And then, you know, for younger families, that might be a little bit more challenging. You might have to just steal some of those moments from time to time. You might have to have your spouse cover for you, or do something like that, or watch the kids for while I go do this or that or the other. But I believe that's important. Get alone with God. I like to say it like this. Get alone with God until you're not alone anymore. Until you don't feel like you're alone anymore. That's important. And he'll fill that space, I promise you. Psalm 5, verse 3 says this. My voice, this is a prayer. My voice, you, God, you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. I will look up. So if you wake up first thing and you're looking around or looking at your phone or looking at your news and all that kind of stuff, that's different. That's going to set the tone a little bit different. Especially because if you're watching any kind of news or doing all that, first thing in the morning, it's just all bad news. I can go and save you the trouble right now. But he said, I'm going to turn my face to you and you will hear my voice in the morning. I like that. I like that. And I will look up. All right, let's go to the next one. Mark 6:45. Mark 6:45-51. And you're going to see a couple of these things just keep repeating themselves. And that's on purpose. Now I want you to keep seeing it. Mark 6:45-51 says this. Immediately he, Jesus, made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat with them and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and they marveled. All right, so going back up to that. Immediately he made his disciples get in the boat, go before him to the other side. He sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Okay? Departed to the mountain to pray. Let's do this. That word mountain. Let's get this deal. Outside. Okay? You're going to say that. Jesus is going to do that a lot. Spends a lot of his time outside, actually. Jesus doesn't have a classroom kind of like this. He takes walks with his disciples. He'll spend the day with them walking somewhere and talking to them, right? And we see Jesus praying on the mountain. Now, when you talk about mountains in Israel, they're just really big hills. They're not any huge mountains. Mount Hermon is a big mountain, but that's in the north side. But most of the hills are about, 800 to 1,200 feet. It's not huge, just kind of rolling hills, and there's some rocky hills, but not huge. But he gets on one of these mountains, and he prays. Why would Jesus pray outside? Now, you can pray inside, don't get me wrong. But we're just watching him. Why would he pray outside?
That's closer to God. Closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Close to where his Father built.
Creation, right? There's something about being in creation. Some of you boys that go deer hunting, some of you ladies may go deer hunting. If you go out in the morning, you get alone in your deer stand and you're outside and you start spending some time with Jesus, that gets kind of holy, doesn't it? And sometimes the deer comes out there and they mess you up. But there's just something about being out there in creation. See, now there's nothing wrong again about praying inside. We pray inside. I pray in my house. I pray in my car. I pray in the sanctuary at the church. But when I really get down to doing business, Sandy will tell you, I go walk. I go wander. I go outside somewhere. And there's something about being outside for me. Now, maybe you're not an outside person, but I'm just telling you, for me, what happens is, like all the barriers and all the ceiling just kind of goes away, and I'm out there in the middle of God's world. See, this is kind of like our world that we constructed. I like his world a lot better than our world. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I appreciate what everybody's built and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that at all. But when I get ready to do business with him, I like to be outside. Anybody else like that? I like it. I like it out there. And Jesus does that. To me, it just kind of takes... You heard the old saying, the sky's the limit. I kind of feel that when I'm out there. It's like when I'm out there and I think about the vastness of who, especially at night when I go out there with the stars. And I see the vastness of the heavens and I see all of his creation and his handiwork. It's just like anything's possible. You know, I'm praying about all of our problems and all of our stuff and the church stuff and our family stuff and our kids stuff and just stuff we got going on. And then when I go outside and I look at the heavens, it just kind of like all that stuff just kind of gets put in perspective. Doesn't mean I get all quick answers all the time, but it just all kind of gets put in perspective and faith rises up in my soul and I'm able to believe again because I recognize his greatness. You know what I'm talking about? All right. You see. I would think so. That's the only time we have it recorded in Scripture, I believe. Oh yeah, that would strike you. That would get your attention. Yeah, Jesus took a stroll walking. And to notice that Jesus prayed up into the night. Did you know? This just wasn't a quick little. Lord, bless me, bless them. Good night. It wasn't just that. This was a prayer. He prayed on up into the night. Okay? I think that's important as well. Sometimes you got to do that. And you know, the walking on the water thing you just talked about, isn't it interesting that the prayer came before the power? Mm-hmm. It does it like that. All right? Mark 11, 25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. But your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Okay, we talked a little bit about that when we came to the Lord's Prayer about forgive us and forgive them. Jesus is advocating something here, and this is kind of a Jewish practice. It says, when you stand. Okay, now this could be literal, it could be metaphorically. But some of you guys are in the military. You're in the military. All right? When a superior officer comes in the room or comes in for detail or whatever, he may come into to the barracks or whatever, what's the first thing everybody does?
Stand up.
You stand at attention, don't you? And what's that signify? You're ready. You respect. You're ready. You're alert. And you're going to listen. Right? I think that's what he's talking about. If you ever watch any kind of video, if you've ever been to Israel, where they pray at the Wailing Wall, you almost always see them. You see them standing there at the wall, and they're kind of doing this rocking thing. That's kind of a Jewish tradition. It's kind of the way they just kind of take care of their body when they're praying. They just kind of do that rocking thing, and they're standing there.
Even in the Old Testament, they talked about they were reading the law or reading it from Moses or whatever. They're always standing.
Understand.
They never sat and read, especially if they were doing a while. They were always standing.
They stood. And every time when we read the scriptures, we'll have you stand. And what's that? That's an idea of respect, isn't it? When we sing in song service, we pray or we read the scriptures, whatever, we stand. Well, that's not just for so you can see the screen. You know, there's something about that to where you stand. Now, if you're not physically able, that's okay. But you ought to bring yourself to attention. If we can do that for a human, we certainly can do that for God, can't we? And to stand before him. Now think about that now. You think about that. When you pray, you come in the mindset that you are standing before God. So that changes the game right there, doesn't it? I'm not just talking. I'm like coming to stand before God. He's giving me audience. And I'm at attention and I'm going to honor him and I'm going to respect him. In fact, when I was growing up, I mean, Lord, you know, my mom, if we supposed to be standing up in church, whatever, and I just got where I just wanted to sit down, mama slapped me in the back of the head and said, boy, stand up. She wouldn't even let me be disrespectful. I'm like, I didn't sleep last night. I don't care, stand up. You stand up. And if you look at her crazy, she's like, I'll snatch your hair off you. Now, you know, that's what we were taught to have respect or else. You know that? So that's all just part of it. So Jesus said, when you stand. So and then the idea of forgiving, because those kind of things pop up when you stand before God. You need to deal with something, deal with it. All right. So it's a posture of reverence, respect, and readiness, right? All right. Luke 3:21-22. We're going to have a little background noise it sounds like, doesn't it? We've got a few more to look at. Luke 3:21-22. Now, this is at Jesus' baptism. I want to show you a little detail. We usually just skip through it. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. There was John the Baptist. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased. And there's a lot of content right there we wish we had time to talk about. But did you notice what's Jesus doing in that water? Right there in the Jordan River. He's praying. How about that? Jesus was praying at his baptism. Wonder what he was saying. You know, we don't have any record of it all. I just think about that. What were you saying, Lord? I mean, this is a big turning point in his life. Even in Jesus' life, this is the baptism was a big turning point. Now he will step into his messianic role and he will begin to proclaim himself and do his teachings. He's like 30 years old right here. And this is kind of his launch party, so to speak. And Jesus is right there in the middle of that Jordan River praying.
Probably for some strength.
Strength, wisdom.
Did he leave the baptism and go 40 days in the wilderness?
Certainly did. He did, and his ministry launched.
And like you said, he knew he was coming. He was coming out.
And see, all heaven broke loose right there. But as soon as he came to the wilderness, all hell broke loose. So you got to be prepared for both. And prayer prepares you for heaven breaking open and for hell breaking loose. You know, it'll prepare you for all that. You know, it's not just all going to be fun and games. You got to pray to be prepared, right? And Father speaks to Jesus while he is praying. I like that. I like that picture. All right, Mark 11. Lord, did we covered that one already, didn't we? All right, Luke 5. Luke 3:21-22. All right, Luke 5:15-16. All right, now Jesus is going to give us some insight again here. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. He was wanting people to just kind of be quiet about the miracle. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. All right. So now what's he doing? What stands out there right there? What's he doing? We got this again, right? All right. So he was outside there. He's going outside again. He's going to be into the wilderness. Into the wild country. Something about being out in the wild now, I'm telling you. It's just something about it. All right? He's alone. Okay, so now the picture is that everybody's trying to make Jesus famous. Really. They're really trying to make him popular. And I like the way the gospel writer says it, the English interpreted here. It says, so he himself. They were trying to make him popular, so he himself withdrew. You ever notice that about Jesus? He would not get on men's timetable. They tried to make him king a time or two, and he said, I'm not going to do it. So what was his remedy for all of the hype and for all of the ego and for all of the wanting to be popular, for all of the wanting to be seen by people, wanting to be looked well of people? What was his antidote for that? He withdrew, and he went and talked to Daddy. And he prayed. That's important. And Jesus is teaching us a couple things. How to handle all that hypocrisy thing that we struggle with from time to time. Wanting to be thought well of people. He just withdrew. He got away from it all. Got away from all the hype. You notice Jesus, he's the most popular man that's ever lived. And he never hyped himself up not one time. Isn't that something? He didn't hire a public relations manager. He didn't do no marketing campaigns. He didn't have no business cards. You know, he didn't have no social media. He didn't have Facebook. Didn't have none of that. He literally, and Jesus hardly ever left his little area. He stayed within 50 miles of where he was born, really, basically, and where he lived in that general area his whole life. And he resisted popularity. You know what? Nowadays, preachers, somebody gets healed in church, it's going to be all over the place. There are going to be flyers floating around. You know, I'm saying all this not to criticize, because I have struggled with that myself. We've lost the way of Jesus, the way Jesus does things. Because see, if you got real power and real strength, you can be humble about it. You know, Daddy always told me, the guys that run their mouth all the time, that ain't the ones you worry about. Because that ain't real. Whatever's just not real, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of the bigger they are, harder they fall kind of deal. But if you really are the man, you ain't got to tell nobody. Just do and be who you're supposed to be. And that's what Jesus is doing. He just withdrew. All right? It's good practice. It's good practice. All right? Now, God may choose to exalt you, but you got to deal with that ego. You got to deal with that getting off track and going the wrong direction. All right? And how do you do that? Well, you better get away from it and get your head out of it, and don't believe your own press, and don't believe all your fan club, don't believe all that, all those folks that just love you and just building you up. Don't believe all that. Get away, get away, get away, get away, and go spend some time with Father. Resist all that kind of stuff. It's important. You see what I'm talking about? All right. Must take time to withdraw and to pray. All right. And Jesus is kind of teaching us how to deal with the stress of it all, too, because people will stress you out. Promise you. All right? They're having a good time out there, ain't they?
That's what you call competition.
Yeah, that's a lot of testosterone out there. All right. Luke 6, 12 and 13. Just a couple more and then we'll go. Luke 6, 12 and 13. See another story, another Jesus story right here. And you're going to see some of the same stuff. Just kind of reiterate it. Keep going over and over. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And it gives the names of the apostles thereafter. All right, so what do we see again? What do you see again right there? He's outside. Oh, we got a mountain right here. Let's write that down there. All right, he's outside to pray. What else? All night long. All night. What's Jesus about to do? Well, he's about to make the biggest decisions of his ministry right here. So this is what I'm going to say. This is what Jesus does when he has to make big decisions. What do you need to do? I mean, with the little decisions too, but especially, you got a transition moment in your life, you're thinking about stuff, what you better do is you better talk to Daddy about all that stuff you got going on. I mean, Jesus did. He's the Son of God. You know? He's the Messiah, and we see him handling his big decisions. He talks to God about it. He prays. All right? All right, you good? And he received clarity on it all too. Luke 9:18. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Right? What do you see right there? Well, we got this. Just kind of keeps popping up, doesn't it? Alone, keeps popping up. All right. And imagine how hard it was for Jesus to get alone, especially at this juncture of his ministry. All the miracles and all the stuff that's circulating about him. All the needs of people.
People are hunting him down.
They're hunting him. Both for good reasons and for bad reasons. People are trying to find him all the time. But he always has a way to find time to get alone. That's just important. It keeps coming. All right? Luke 9, 28 through 32. I think we got like two more. 28 through 32 of Luke 9. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistened. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration, we call it. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, or his exodus, really is what it says, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. So now we see Jesus. He's praying alone, but he takes Peter, James, and John. So he prays with others. All right, so now we don't just pray exclusively by ourselves. Jesus takes time to pray with Peter, James, and John right there. I want you to see that. Okay? It's important. And if you got some good praying buddies, that is a blessing to your life. Pray with them. Be good for you. All right? And there he is again. He's outside. He's on a mountain. And it's interesting that, again, this great supernatural experience where Jesus hears his Father again and he glows with his glory and Moses and Elijah are there. It all took place while he was praying. See what I'm talking about?
Standing
praying. Mm-hmm. It's good. All right, a couple more. Now we're going to see Jesus praying again. He's going to be praying for somebody. In particular, Peter, Luke 22:31-32. And the Lord said, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Kind of like this Job kind of moment that's going to happen in Peter's life. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. All right. Now here we see Jesus interceding for Peter. Jesus is praying for his, this is going to be his number one guy. Jesus is praying for him. And I just want you to see this, that this prayer that Jesus prays over Peter becomes the catalyst for Peter's restoration. And it's important that we intercede for one another, because your prayer, if we're going to be one like him, or one with him, our prayer might be the catalyst for somebody else's restoration as well. You know? And the last, and then we'll go to some other scriptures next week, Lord willing. Matthew 6:6. Now we covered this when we did the first part of the Lord's Prayer. This is in Matthew 6, that same chapter as what we were studying the last several weeks. I want you to see this again. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Okay. So we've got this alone. Let's add this little phrase right here. Secret place, right? I highly recommend you get one. And you have one. I don't know if it might be your recliner sitting there in the living room before everybody gets up. It might be the back porch. It might be a place. It might be a park. It might be your vehicle as you're driving, doing. I got several secret places. And I can't tell you about it because it's secret. I'm serious. That's where I meet him. That ain't where I meet you. We can meet at the restaurant, but I got to go meet him somewhere else because we got to be alone. I got to focus. But look at what he says right here. When you have shut your door. Okay, what does that kind of speak of? Y'all were talking about that interruptions and distractions. Shut everything else out. Okay? And if you're a man, you already have the capability to do that in a room full of people. So you're good. Isn't that the truth? It's a God-given gift. I'm just going to tell you. Anyway, when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. Now, this is good. Your Father who is in the secret place. It's like when you get there, he's there waiting on you to get there. I've been waiting on you to get to our spot. Mm-hmm. And when he hears you in the secret place, he'll take care of the stuff that needs to be taken care of. That's good now. So that alone stuff. And it seemed like Jesus, you know, Gethsemane. We'll talk about that maybe next week or next week. In Gethsemane, you know how Judas knew how to find Jesus there? You know how Judas, the betrayer, you know how he knew to go to Gethsemane? That was one of the secret places. That was one of the places they used to pray. And he knew he'd be there. Okay? Gethsemane was one of Jesus' secret places. Okay? Now, I don't know where you want to go. You may like it outside. I highly recommend it. Get you a space outside. Get you something going. Get you a place in the house. Let everybody know that that's your spot. You know, get find you a secret place. And it got to be. It ain't got to be grand. You ain't got to go to Home Depot and or Hobby Lobby and decorate something. Just get you a nice little spot. You know what I'm saying? You already have it. Redeem it. Yes, sir.
In the point of the secret place, you will not be disturbed.
Yes, sir. And the point is that you're alone, but you're not just by yourself. You're alone with God. That's the point of the secret place. It's kind of like this. Get back to that marriage thing, okay? Couples, they got their spots. You got your restaurants. You got your places where you like to go walk. You got your places where you like to do things together. It's kind of that's people say, well, that's their thing, or that's their place. That's what lovers do, right? And we're lovers of God. We need a place. We need a place where we can meet.
What if D.L. Moody who said his mother covered her head with an apron?
It might have been. I remember a story like that.
And they knew not to bother her?
It was either Wesley or Moody or one of them guys.
Of them.
Yeah.
It was one of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, said that when their mother had her apron drawn over her face, mm-hmm. and she was, you know, they knew not to bother her.
Yeah. So I don't know how it works out. You work out the dynamics of it all. But get you a place. Get you a place where you meet God. You may want to set a time. Like, I got some times where I meet God. We just have a standing date. Now, I'm not legalistic about it. If something comes up, we can reschedule and move it to a different spot and a different time. But have some times where you meet with God. Maybe you want to set your alarm clock. Say, hey, okay, I gotta run out of the house by 6:30. So I'm gonna get up today about 15 minutes earlier, and at 5:45, I'm gonna meet you right there on the back porch. That's good. Hey, you need to talk yourself into that kind of stuff. Talk to God when you go to bed. Say, all right, I'll see you at 5:45 at the porch. I'm serious. He's that real, and he needs to become that real in your life, right? You good? All right, let's pray. Lord, help us with all this. We just kind of wanted to watch you and just thank you so much for opening up your life to us, Lord, in so many different ways. And Lord, we want to be more like you in everything that we do, and prayer is a huge part of that. So make us one with each other, but make us one with you, and help us to experience what that really is. I thank you, Lord. I bless your people. Help us draw closer to you and become more like you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.